those who mock God are going to wish they didn't. I want to talk about Belshazzar's feast. We have an interesting thing in the book of Daniel. We have two Babylonian kings that it deals with. It talks about King Nebuchadnezzar, and we have this interesting mirror image chapters. We have chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Daniel. In chapter 4 of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar is judged by God. And you know the dream that he has of a tree that's cut down. And he ends up being warned by God. And Daniel tells him, hey, king, repent of your sins. Don't let this judgment come. He doesn't. And in his pride, God strikes him with mental illness, it seems. He's eating grass and he's walking around like an animal and letting his hair grow and his nails grow for 7 years. And then he's restored into greater power and he gives praise and glory to God. Belshazzar is, interestingly enough, actually the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has a son-in-law that does not want to actually rule in Babylon. He has other things he wants to do, other gods he wants to serve. And so the compromise is that his son, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, rules over Babylon while the father is sort of farther afield. So this is why when Belshazzar wants to offer a prize to the person who can read the handwriting on the wall, he says, I will make you third ruler in the kingdom. Why? Because there's already two. But let me go back to the beginning. In the beginning of chapter 5, Belshazzar makes a feast. And he's got his lords, and he's got his wives, and he's got his concubines. And he calls specifically for the holy vessels from the temple in Jerusalem to be brought. And they're using it to toast all the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, including wood and stone. Now, I don't know how high on the pantheon of Babylonian gods is the gods of wood and stone, but it must be near the bottom. And they just thought it was so funny that even the least of the Babylonian gods is greater than the God of Jerusalem. It says specifically, these are those that are from Judah that have been taken captive. They know what this is. They know these are temple objects. They know specifically that these are holy things. And they're just having this great time mocking the God of Daniel, mocking the God of the Israelites. And so, to his surprise, a hand, just the part of the hand, appears and writes on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Pharsin. Mene means counted. So it counted, and then Tekel is related to the Hebrew word shekel. It means a weight. So weighed, and then Pharsin is related to two things. The word Pharas means to separate or divide, and it's also a play on words with the word Persian. And so your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Now, he can't read it, though. So he's calling for the enchanters and the magicians to come, and they can't read it. And so the queen mother says, hey, there's a guy named Daniel. He can do this. So they call Daniel in. Now, it's a very interesting thing if you look at the difference between the way Daniel greets Nebuchadnezzar, which is, O king, live forever, and the way he greets Belshazzar, who he has no respect for. He's angry, in fact. And he says, you knew what happened with your father. You knew what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. You knew that how God humbled him. Though you knew all this, you have not humbled yourself. Instead, you're drinking to all these other gods. And the God who has your breath in his hand, and he uses the word hand specifically because the form of a hand has been writing on the wall. We talk about that writing on the wall as a warning. It's not a warning. This is Belshazzar's epitaph. Your kingdom has come to an end. You cannot do this any longer. And I'm saying this to you. We're living in a time where the judgment of God has come. And we're seeing all over people who have been mocking righteousness, mocking holiness, mocking God, mocking Christianity, mocking the scriptures, mocking the precious things of God and the people of God. God is saying, I've had enough. And he's writing out a judgment that says, you can no longer do this. There are those who, like Nebuchadnezzar, they have been warned, and if they repent of their sin, if they repent of their unrighteousness, there's forgiveness, and there can be a raising back up. But for those who, in their smugness, insolence, in their rebellion, have just said, I don't care, God is saying, your time is done. That night, see, Belshazzar makes Daniel the third ruler in the kingdom, but that night he dies. the Persians had broken into the city. In fact, what they did was they diverted the river away from the city and they went through the dry riverbed into the city. Took it. Daniel has favor in the Persian Empire, but Belshazzar's dead. And I'm saying this to you. The time that you've been waiting for, the time of the oppressor, the time of the ones who you just see, you know, just around you, mocking the things of God, their time is done. God is saying, I'm bringing judgment and I'm bringing blessing to the righteous. So I leave that heavy word as a warning, but also as a promise in Jesus' name.